And that's where I think also like this message that's still being sent to men that like your value is in your production. Hustle, hustle. If you're not working 80 hours a week, you're not a man.
Hi there, my name's James and thank you so much for checking out my podcast, Dad Mind Matters, helping men to safely navigate family life without losing their minds. I'm lucky enough to be joined by marriage and family therapist, Crystal DeSantis.
Dad Mind Matters, helping men to safely navigate family life without losing their minds. Lived experience podcasts about mental health, parenting and marriage on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
Because I think men and women need each other. I really do. And I think it's more just about having a conversation and saying, how can we help each other? That transcends relationships, doesn't it? That's as much about, my wife came in from a run earlier. She's just started trail running. Make the effort to ask and actually, because it makes an enormous difference to someone where you actually take, because it's very rare to get someone's undivided attention these days. So when someone, especially someone you love, gives you their undivided attention, it's massive.
Totally. And this is something that's really interesting. I did a little thread on it and like an Instagram post on it, but really caring for somebody and focusing on like the providing part of it, which a lot of men do. They're like, I want to work hard so I can care for my family. I want to give them a house. I want to give them this. And it's all of that is good. But what really matters at the end of the day in an intimate personal relationship is feeling cared about.
Yeah.
It's like you said, checking in with your wife. Hey, babe, how are you doing? How is your day? That's saying I care about you. It's not just I paid the bills this week, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, Check that box. And that's where I think also like this message that's still being sent to men that like your value is in your production. Hustle, hustle. If you're not working 80 hours a week, you're not a man. If you don't have Maserati, you're not a man. If you can't afford a stay-at-home partner, you're not a man. It's like, but at what cost?
Yeah, I
would like to see you sometime.
Exactly. Yeah. And they want to see, and when they do see, they don't want you absolutely exhausted and so beaten down. Actually, this resonates with me. I got made redundant a week before Christmas. And that was really hard because there were lots of demons where I just felt like I'd let my family down. And my wife has been very supportive. But there's still a part of me that feels like until I'm earning in the hours I can, I'm letting the side down. And actually, the things that have meant more to me over the past few months is how supportive my wife has been and actually how kind she's being. To basically challenge when I go, I'm sorry, I'm letting the side down. She's like, no, I can see you're actually working. You're trying. If the work isn't there that you want and the money's in there, well, that's fine. But I can see you're actually going out and trying to work. I mean, I've got a number of cleaning jobs at the moment. It's not ideal, but it's working. So I think actually, and that, and this stuff, kindness, stuff like that between men and women is in a relationship that will cement you through some busy times.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing is really focusing on how can we be more relational, care more about each other. And that starts with caring about what the other side is telling you they're struggling with. Yeah. Right. I think like men could be more attuned to like, are these women, are they just complaining about men again? Or is this really, oh, is there something that they're talking about that they're telling us about their pain? They're telling us about their pain points. And is there anything that we can do to help with that or to change that or to address that because we care? And then on the other side too, where men are talking about, we're really lonely. We're feeling like overworked. And there's this expectation that all we do is provide and that at the end of the day, our needs are like don't really matter. Are there women who then also say, we care about that? What are you telling us about your pain? And is there anything we can do to address that? Because it's going to take both. And again, like when I do couples work, I'm always like, okay, unless there's a clear abuser in the relationship, it's going to be about changing the dynamic.
Yeah.
You're going to have to change a little bit. Your partner's going to have to change a little bit. And if you care about the relationship, you're both going to have to do something different.
I think you said it in your book or in a previous podcast that sometimes when you have couples and they go, just fix him or fix her, she's the problem. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Obviously, researching this 4Bs topic and just going down that whole rabbit hole, I've lots of things that resonated with me that I hadn't thought about. Like one woman talked about, if you're on a bus and you're the only other person there, there's loads of seats, and a man comes and sits next to you when he could sit anywhere, that is intimidating to a woman in a way it isn't to a man. And I thought, yeah, that's a really good point, actually.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a physical intimidation, which is a bit of a generalization. And I think sometimes maybe us as men don't, we completely underestimate that for a woman, it might to be in the world that you're up. There's a physical threat potentially anywhere I go in the world. And we don't think, I never think that. Whenever I walk, I go on a bus, I'm never worried physically.
I think a man would feel intimidated if another man, if the bus was empty, right?
Absolutely.
You would immediately be like, something is wrong with this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily feel safe. I've seen the cartoon where there's like a wall of urinals and there's an unspoken rule of men that you don't, if there's all empty stalls and all empty urinals, you don't go stand next to that one. And if a guy did, you would have a little bit of radar too of like, I don't feel super comfortable right
now.
Yeah,
you could go anywhere and you want to go here.
So that's also that kind of thing of, it's not just a woman problem.
I think in situations like that, yes, you're right. If a man stood next to me, I'd be like, oh, this is annoying. I'm either going to have someone I don't want to talk to. Or as you said, he could be potentially a threat. Whereas maybe it's just different. For example, my daughter goes to secondary school in September. Mm. She's going to have to get a bus and a train. Mm-hmm. I'm really nervous about that for her. Mm. Should I be nervous in the same way that if it was my son going? I don't know, probably. But I think we do have different standards for men and women in the world. And lots of times I don't think we should.
Yeah. Because I think too, that's going back into the deeper societal thing of like, basically, like, regardless of gender, how can we make the world safer for kids?
If I was on a bus and I saw a woman being hassled by someone she didn't, I hope I'd be brave enough to make sure she knows that I'm there to support or actually intervene if it needed to. And you hope the same would happen for children. But I think no one wants to be the first person, do they? Everyone will be like, I'll back up the guy who's brave. But I'm like, no, we all need to be the guy that's brave first.
Exactly. And I think too, that's also the societal thing, right? Is that there might be a man who sees a child and the child is maybe a little bit scared or a little bit lost. And the man wants to say, hey, buddy, let me walk you to your next stop. But the perception of that, he might be like, I'm not touching that kid. I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah.
Whereas the woman might be feel empowered to say, hey, I got this, right?
Yeah.
And so that's also that, again, that societal thing of why do we have this perception that women are the ones that, there are lots of reasons. But again, if we want that to change, if we want there to be a little bit more, you know, men are equally nurturing, men are equally capable of keeping children safe, men are equally capable of being good parents. It's not just always the women's job, which is what that 4B movement is like, well, no, that's a women's thing. Men shouldn't have to participate. Then the women are like, well, then we won't participate.
Yeah, and that's you made a really good point there. And I feel like it's got to be fair both ways. So actually, if we're going to make it the world safer for women, if they feel that's what they needed, then you need to let men, if they're being asked to be nurturing, that has to count as well. Because you're right, because I mean, we always say to the kids, if you get lost and you don't see us, go and talk to a woman. Ideally, go and talk to a woman with children. But I probably wouldn't say, go and talk to a man.
Yeah. And again, I think that's a deeper societal issue about the way that men are socialized, the way that women are socialized to think of men, just on a much, much deeper level that needs to be, like, the system needs to change.
Yeah.
And it's going to take both men and women saying, hey, we're sick of that old way.
Yeah.
Of like women being the default nurturers and the default safe people and men not being acknowledged that they can also step up. And then that translates into men being ignored as parents, men not, you know, feeling empowered to become teachers, to become nurses. And young men and young boys, they need male role models in those roles. If men are discouraged from that because of society, right? Which in South Korea, again, I really want to emphasize, in South Korea, the gendered roles are incredibly strict, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember even in Japan, I was on this TV show and we were talking about, there was a woman, I think she was a cancer doctor. So she was like really important, right? Her and her husband were thinking about having a baby and she was pregnant and they were talking about what do we do? Because in Japan, traditionally, if a woman gets married and pregnant, she quits her job so that she can be a stay-at-home parent.
So do you think is that still socially the norm in 2024?
I couldn't speak to that. I haven't lived there in a while, but I feel like that's where the South Korea,
okay,
that's the expectation. And I remember saying on Ignorant Westerner, I was like, well, why doesn't he just stay home? Let her keep her job. And then she can take maternity leave. And everybody was like, oh, you want him to be Mr. Mom? Oh, that's so American. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Because again, being away from culture and coming back, I had a completely different perspective.
I think we've got to let our species progress. And actually, you're right. There are going to be, the next generation needs all sorts of gender role models in every facet of whatever job. And I think just as opposed to seeing it as a tap on your gender, say, well, actually, we have the skills to do this, to make it better. It's, I suppose in a way, it's don't be so threatened about something that is often really not a pop at you. It's a woman who's upset with the situation for very good reasons of wanting to improve it. Say, let's get rid of men. That's not what is being said.
If anything, I like to say it's about giving men more options, right? Because like a woman could grow up in this culture now, right? Where she could say, I want to be a mom. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. Or she could say, I want to be an underwater welder. And both are available to you.
And why not? And actually, I mean, I feel very, very lucky that I have a wife who is happy to have her husband doing the majority of the childcare and going to work. There's not a one-size-fits-all, men or women.
Exactly. But if you don't have the freedom in a society to make the choices that are best for your family because of economic reasons, because of stigma, because of shame around not being the primary breadwinner, then you really don't have the freedom that you think you have. Yeah. And that's really what the problem is. If we believe in freedom and autonomy and being able to live the life you want to live, it's not women that are standing in the way of men.
Your book is proof to that. What I got from reading it is that you were very much speaking up for the problems that men have. There'll be lots of women doing things, doing work like you're working. So it's men are not being attacked by women. Women are allies in ways that we don't realize. Mm-hmm. And I think we should reciprocate that.
You know, I think there needs to be a lot more change and a lot more progress on both sides, because I think the factions that really generate a lot of, I mean, let's think about it on TikTok or on, you know, Instagram or whatever in media, it generates a lot of income, a lot of hits to have hate messages, right? So that's really what I'm saying is like, that's all I mean, that's somebody's making money off that. That's a big distraction. Let's focus on if you're an average person who wants to have a good life, have some kids, you know, be able to provide for them. Is that possible in this society, or could it, or it, would it be really hard? And if it's too hard to do that, what can we change about our society? Like, forget all the noise on TikTok and all of that. Yeah. What do we actually need to change about the fabric and the structure of our society so that families are more supported and protected?
I really hope you got something from this podcast. And if you're going through or have gone through a mental health issue and you found a way to make your life slightly easier and you want to share that story, please contact me. And I know it's a massive ask because no one's got any spare time, but I'm really trying to get this podcast out there. So if you have 2 minutes to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be hugely appreciated. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're okay. Take care of yourself. My book, First Time Dad, A 42-Week Guide to Pregnancy, is available in Kindle and paperback form on Amazon and an audiobook form on Audible. To sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, www.dadmindmatters.com.